Chapter 4. Wearing very special clothes called ihram, reaching the station of Miqat, and arriving in Mecca at last. That afternoon, the children had a lot of fun in the backyard. They made toy boats and enjoyed sinking them in a tub of water. Each boat had a tiny golden heart which floated to the surface. Then they made up a skit about preparing for the Hajj by apologizing to each other and giving back things they had borrowed. They understood what grandfather's secret message was about. How could one leave on a pilgrimage and not have put one's life in order? Yes, one certainly needed to say one was sorry for hurting anyone, just the way grandfather asked his brother's forgiveness. To their surprise, it was a lot of fun to realize how silly it is to hold grudges. Instead, why not always make seeking forgiveness and forgiving others as a way of life? Yahya and Fatima were still happily forgiving each other for a long list of brother-sister arguments as they unzipped their luggage. Both of them gasped. "Oh my, we really did bring too much," Fatima exclaimed. "I have an idea. Let's donate these to folks in need," suggested Yahya. As the children removed everything extra from their bags, each remembered what they had learned about grandfather's Hajj trip and the journey through daily life. Simply carry a shining golden heart and only take what you need. "Well, that was easy," said Yahya, climbing back into the car after delivering their unnecessary belongings to a homeless shelter. Grandmother was delighted to see the children learning about the deeper meaning of Hajj, and she supported their generous giving.
"Do you think we're ready to continue learning about grandfather's Hajj now?" he whispered to Fatima, who was holding the large photo album in her arms.
"Let's see," said Fatima excitedly, as she opened to the next page. There was a photograph of grandmother and grandfather wearing brilliant white but simple clothing. The children wondered, why were they wearing those special clothes? "Dear children, let's pretend that you are correctly packed for your pilgrimage with only the bare necessities. And now it's time to get properly dressed. Remember when I used to take you to your scout meetings? Before we entered the meeting, we made sure you were properly dressed in your uniforms. The uniforms helped remind you of the way a scout should behave with honor and good morals. When you wear your uniform for scout games or special sports, how does that affect the way you behave? If you are in a play, does it make it easier to act when wearing the costume of your character? On the Hajj, we also wear special clothing because it continuously reminds us of how we need to be when visiting God's house. We put on a certain simple clothing when we reach a place called the Station of Miqat. Everyone has already taken a special bath and trimmed their nails. Men and boys wrap themselves in two simple, unsewn pieces of white cloth and do not wear caps on their heads. Women and girls wear long dresses and headscarves but do not cover their faces. Once we are dressed in this way, we obey all the rules of good behavior. The humble dress, special behavior, and clear intention make it possible for us to enter into what is called the state of ihram. Ihram has a meaning similar to sacred, which means to be connected closely to God. So this state of ihram helps us to remind the pilgrim of his humility and need for God. If you are dressed in this very simple but dignified clothing and have left all your belongings back home, wouldn't you feel closer to God in your heart? Your grandmother and I did. Do you think that also dressing in a humble but dignified way when back home can help clean our hearts from thinking and behaving like we are better than others? There is also a secret which I believe I can tell you now, a secret which you will need to think deeply about. When Muslims die, leave this world and enter the next world, they also wear a special white clothing like the ihram. Wearing this special dress during Hajj and when we pass into the next world reminds us that there is no better way to meet our Lord than when we have let go of everything else, dressed humbly, and our hearts are only there for Him. Now, let's pretend that you are packed, dressed, and ready to think about transportation. Pull out your second golden key of living with what is truly needed to help you think about traveling in the most simple manner possible. Did you see the photograph of your grandmother and me walking on foot from Mecca to the campsite at Mina? Imam al-Ghazali tells us that angels embrace those who walk on foot, while they only greet those who are riding on donkeys or something fancier. So we wanted the angels to hug us. Also, being humble, not thinking of ourselves as deserving special treatment, is the true path to reaching the King. Imam al-Ghazali even scolded travellers who loaded their donkeys and horses too heavily. No one has the right to ever mistreat animals. But in order to first get from Jeddah, where our plane landed, to Mecca, we needed to take a van. We used that as an opportunity to think deeply about the similarity between a bus taking us to the house of God and a wooden box that will later carry our bodies to the grave. The pilgrimage is just like our journey to the next world. When we arrive to God, our hearts should be empty of everything but love for Him and His Messenger, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Imam al-Ghazali even says that although we may plan to go on the pilgrimage, something could happen to stop us, but that nothing will stop our meeting God on the Day of Judgment at the end of our lives. That is the day that a trumpet will be blown, and every human being who has ever lived returns to God to see how they have lived their lives. Everything will have been recorded in a special book. Once I understood that I would meet God no matter what, and my good deeds and bad deeds would be weighed, I began looking at my choices and actions every day. And just like the habit of brushing my teeth before bed, I began always asking for forgiveness for things I did during the day, just before I went to sleep each night, always trying to polish my heart. I want to tell you about something very beautiful called the Talbiyah. The pilgrims making the Hajj chant the Talbiyah once they have entered the state of Ihram. The Talbiyah is our response to the call of the Prophet Ibrahim a.s. who built the Kaaba. God instructed Ibrahim a.s. to call humankind to worship Him at His sanctuary, the Kaaba. And when we say this Talbiyah, we are replying to His call. It's wonderful to say. Let's say it together. Labbaik Allahumma labbaik. Labbaik la sharika laka labbaik. Innal hamda wan ni'mata laka wal mulk la sharika lak. At your service, God, at your service. At your service, you have no partner. At your service. Truly all praise, favour and sovereignty is yours. You have no partner. Now, let's go have some more fun. Love, Grandfather. As they finished reading this amazing secret from their grandfather, Yahya and Fatima decided to try saying the Talbiyah. It was easy to learn and fun to chant. They liked the idea of answering a call made by the Prophet Ibrahim a.s. so long ago, inviting them to come worship God at the Kaaba in Mecca. What a wonderful invitation!